Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
There was a hashtag that was trending right after the elections a couple of weeks ago. It was Booker 2020. But when you talk to New Jersey Democratic Senator Cory Booker, he says that 2020 is the furthest thing from his mind right now. I spoke with Cory Booker about what led to the stunning defeat on Election Day for Democrats and how Booker perceives the administration that Donald Trump is assembling so far. Cory Booker told me that he's in crisis mode.
In this election, we won the popular vote, and it seems to be we're gaining more and more votes above and beyond what Donald Trump got every single day as votes are continuing to be counted. But there is definitely lessons to be learned and a lot more postmortem. And what I worry about is often the interests of those Americans that the Democratic Party has been known for years for representing, that somehow that focus was not represented in the way that it should. You know, I've got 99 colleagues. I go back to living in a census tract that's the poorest census tract of all the people in the Senate. I live in a census tract that where the median income is $14,000 a year. The majority of people are below the poverty line. Every single day, what sent me into politics was fighting to defend folks that live in that struggle. And I get very frustrated. I want my party to be front and center, to be focused on an America that works for every single person. And right now, people, and frankly, people in both parties just don't feel that. And I want my party to be the champion of that ideal.
So, Senator, you've voiced your concern over your colleague Jeff Sessions and his impending nomination as attorney general, given his record on civil rights, his record on race. Democrats don't have the ability to filibuster these nominees because you all got rid of the filibuster when it comes to nominees. Is this going to be a rhetorical fight for you?
Well, I think for me, it's going to be a fight to try to awaken the conscience of our country. We have a nation right now where there's actually a growing consensus on the brokenness of our criminal justice system, that we have a nation that is singular in humanity for incarcerating its own people for nonviolent offenses, many of which the last two presidents and many members of Congress have done themselves. And so the one person in the Senate who has been fighting hardest against criminal justice reform, that's been supported by Republican Chuck Grassley, supported by the Koch brothers, supported by Newt Gingrich, the one person who's been fighting against the kind of reforms that have helped states, those that have enacted them, lowering crime, lowering taxpayer expenses, and raising the ideals of justice has been Jeff Sessions. And so this is unacceptable to me, but it should be an outrage to Republicans as well, that the very person that's fighting against the trends we're seeing around the country is now going to be the lead law enforcement officer who has said unequivocally what he intends to do should he get this kind of power when he was a senator.
Senator, how far do you want your leadership to go in opposing a potential early Supreme Court nominee?
Well, it's very important that Democrats don't become what they've criticized for the last 8 years under Obama. Remember, this was a moment where 8 years ago, where Republican leaders were standing up and saying, our number one goal is to not allow Obama to have a second term. That's despicable to me, and I will never do that. So my number one goal is to serve the American people. My number one goal is to protect the rights and privileges of all citizens. And when it comes to Supreme Court justices, I just went through the hell of having Republicans say, I don't care who he puts up. We're not going to even have a hearing on that. So I'm going to give a fair hearing and be open to any candidate he puts up before I design my tactics or declare that I'm going to stop somebody.
Important, likewise, for Democrats to try to get a couple of early wins cooperating with Donald Trump. There are signals from your leadership. Hey, we might get some agreement on infrastructure. We might get an agreement on trade deals if we agree there. Of course, other voices in your party want opposition. They're stung by the election. From inside the Senate, where do you come down on this?
You know, I get up every morning when I'm home in Newark, New Jersey. There are folks who are great Americans who work hard every day, who are struggling with real issues. That's my barometer for what I'm going to do. Now, I know one thing. I will not cooperate with hate or bigotry or anybody that's doing things to demean or degrade or undermine Americans. And so I have a critical eye towards the larger fight against the kind of toxicity, Twitter troll-like activities, the way that Donald Trump campaigned, the people he's pulling around him like Steve Bannon, This, to me, is a real threat to the character and culture of our country, and I intend to fight that with every ounce of my being. Everything that I have seen over the last year, from the way this man campaigned to the people he's now choosing to be in his inner circle and intends to have leading this country, alarms are going off. And I am talking to people around the clock now about how we best can resist should he try to divide our country and degrade people in this nation, and how we can begin to fight back for the principles and ideals and the highest aspirations of who we are as a people.
So before we let you go, this is a time of reassessment among Democrats, stinging loss. You know that your name is at the top of the five or six people that Democrats are saying they might want to put up in 2020. Are you considering positioning yourself to be a national leader for the next election cycle? How are you thinking about the next couple of years? I know you're focused on New Jersey. I get it. But people in your position also have to think about other possibilities in their careers.
Well, I'll resist anybody in my party that wants to start talking about and strategizing about 2020. I think that's what really turns off Americans about politics and politicians. In 4 years, people could lose their families, people could lose their health care, people could lose their security. The threats that are coming at us if Donald Trump intends to follow through on the kind of things he was saying during his campaign are real, and there are people that will be hurt by this, people that could lose their liberty as a result of this, people who could have their lives threatened. So I'm sorry, this is a crisis for me. This is not about politics. This is a time that we need to fight for our country and for our countrymen and women, because at the end of the day, this is a moment in American history where I think the character of our country will be defined, and all of us should see it as a call of our citizenship to be far more engaged than we ever have in doing the things that can unite us as a nation. And we can't let somebody tear that down.
A crisis for Senator Cory Booker as the 115th Congress is set to begin in January with a Democratic minority and a new presidency for President-elect Donald Trump. Senator Cory Booker, Democrat from New Jersey. Thanks for your time.
Thank you very much.